I was just trying to figure out how I really want to do this. God has a small teaching, but I think, you know, our little 10-minute thing we do, this one here is called Holy Spirit, Lead Me. Then it's the terrifying peace of surrender. And when you totally and completely, positively surrender everything you are to Jesus. I think we'll listen to that first, and then we'll go into the teaching, because the teaching talks about that too. Well, Father, we just thank you this morning. I thank you for every precious soul that walked through your doors. And Father God, I know that I'm hearing you say you're going to change their demeanor, and they will no longer look like themselves. But children, you will be the image of my son, Jesus. I'm calling you higher this day than you've ever gone before. You will no longer be concerned about what's going on in this earth. It'll mean nothing to you, because you will finally understand you are living in the heavenly realm, working for me on the earthly realm. And Father God, I thank you for that word of encouragement before we even start. And Father God, I'm just asking you right now to allow your Holy Spirit, speak through your Holy Spirit, lead God and direct us in every way. And Father God, I thank you for the healing in my hands. As your daughter laid hands on my hands, every bit of pain left. I thank you, Father God, you're so faithful. You told me if she did that, that would happen. And I thank you for it. So, Father God, that's just the beginning of miracles. And we want miracles to manifest in every area. I thank you for your son, Jesus, his blood, his name. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for the angelic host. I thank you for the great cloud of witnesses. I thank you that all heaven is looking down upon us. And Father God, I thank you that you are smiling upon us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Gabriel, will you play that Holy Spirit thing, honey?
John.
Listen to this very carefully.
Chapter 3. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. You have been praying to be led by something that does not own a map, that has never once presented an itinerary, that does not call ahead, that does not negotiate the destination. Last night, around 11, you meant every word of it. The tears were real, the open hands were real, the whatever you want, real. And then somewhere before 3 in the morning, while you were technically asleep, something in you reached back across the dark and quietly picked it all up again. You didn't decide to. The hands just closed the way a chest closes around a wound before the mind catches up. You have surrendered a great deal over the years, the plans that went cold, the old versions of yourself packed into boxes and left without a ceremony. But there is one drawer. You know exactly which one. He's been standing in front of it for months, maybe longer. Maybe it is not even a sin that is the specific cruelty of it. Maybe it is a plan you built slowly, the way you build anything you actually love, by hand at night and the hours other people spent not caring. Maybe it is a person, A version of the future you sketched and erased and sketched again. The drawing that kept surviving every reason it shouldn't. Every time he touches that drawer, he don't slam it. Slamming would require admitting there is something inside worth protecting. You just become very busy, very strategic, very full of legitimate reasons to think about something else. And he has been patient in a way that is starting to feel less like grace and more like a question you've been postponing for a very long time. There was a night, you know which one, when the hands were open and what you were holding fell through without warning. No time to adjust the grip, no chance to brace. The nervous system only needs that lesson once. After that, you learn to surrender with one hand, while the other quietly kept a copy. Not malice. The oldest, most human thing in the world. A body deciding it will never be caught empty-handed again. And now we carry it. The particular weight of a person who cannot fully rest, because rest requires putting something down. And the putting down still feels like a rehearsal for loss. This is not your faith failing. This is a body that decided the only safe pair of hands was its own, and has been working double shifts ever since. It was a day, not a beautiful surrender, a collapse. The Tuesday, when the plan came apart mid-sentence, when the exhaustion finished the argument you had been having with God for months. You did not release the grip. The grip released you. And in that specific, unglamorous, completely unplanned nothing, he was already there. Not with a replacement, not with an explanation, just present. The way heat stays in a room long after the fire is out. You survived. Not the way you would have chosen. And yet here you are. This is not a promise about the drawer. It is evidence about the nature of the wind. He does not wait for the grip to be ready before he enters. You don't have to throw it away. Just set it on the floor and sit next to it with your hands open.
I made the prayer at 11 with open hands and mended. And before the morning found me, I had picked it up again. There is a drawer you keep returning to. You have been standing there for months. And every time your hand moves toward it, I become so very busy with something else. I know the night the fist was formed. I know what fell through open hands. I held it carefully and still open hands can bleed. So I built a very quiet architecture where nothing moves without my knowing, where I leave the window latched at night so the wind stays out. But you go where you please, and I cannot hear where you've been. And the joy you have been standing in front of is the only thing I have left that still feels like mine. There was a Tuesday, I remember, when the grip just let me go. I did not choose it, I simply ran out. And you were already there, not with a map, not with a reason, just there. And that was enough. That was enough. So here are my hands. They will wanna close again. I already know they will. But right now, they're open. And the wind can come in.
That was all about surrendering and not taking it back. Just surrendering yourself to God and just let Him lead, God, and direct you. Next thing I want to do is read this, Isaiah 60, 1 through 5. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. This has already happened. But the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. That verse God gave the Lighthouse Church, what, a good 5 years ago? And I still don't believe that you people understand what that's saying to you. Arise, shine, for your light, Jesus is the light, has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. So the glory is already over you. Now, God wants to take us now to the greater glory. This was just His glory. Now we're going into the greater glory. Just like God told me, if you have Donna, lay hands on your hands, I'm going to heal them. Donna came, I came and I asked her to do that. And she doesn't pray anything that is more powerful than if you sit there and spout off a whole lot of words. Because you're not healing that person. If you notice, I don't pray. When people say, pray for me, I lay hands on them and thank God they're healed. You don't have to do all that prideful stuff. You just have to be. And what God has been trying to get this church to do is to understand you are not doing anything. You are not in control of anything. You are just a vessel that God wants to work through you. And when you come in and you understand the glory is on you, then you don't have to do anything. I know from day one, I did not understand the anointing, and there wasn't not one pastor here in Delaware that would explain the anointing to me. I didn't know what I was walking in. And what I was going to this church, and she had a somebody from overseas in a prophet, and I said, can I please come see him? She said, sure. And I went to see him that night. You know, we waited in line, and when I went in, the lady that was with him said, the next young lady's here, and he was writing really fast and furious on a piece of paper. When he turned around, he looked at me, he said, you're the woman. You are the woman that I'm writing about right now. And he gave that to the pastor, and she died, and I don't have it, never did get it. But the next day then, next night at midnight, she called me in, and she's the one that poured that whole jar, gallon of oil on me. And she said, God is setting you apart to do a special work for his kingdom. But nobody explained what that meant. So whenever I would, you know, from the time we've opened a church, all I had to do was just walk around the church and people were healed. I didn't touch them. I didn't do no great praying over them. I just walked around. Remember those days, Alan? And the church would always be full because the word went out there. If you go there, you're going to be healed. But through the years, the pastors in this area kept telling me I had to sit down and shut up. You're doing things that are not godly. They're not even in the word. Now, you know, when you walk, when you raise the dead, you know, and when you just walk into a room and everybody says, who just came in the room? And whenever you just walk up to somebody in a grocery store, you just go by them, not even knowing who they are, and they say, what did you just do to me? They got healed. I didn't know the person. You know, I didn't understand that was the glory. Are you understanding this? That was the glory. Now, God told me that don't want what I used to have, because what I used to have was really, really wonderful. He said, because what I'm taking you into is going to be far greater than what I'm taking you out of. And we know that the church split, what they did. God told me before it happened, he said, I can't go the way I wanted to go because one of the staff has decided they're not going to go that way, but I'm still going to do in you what I wanted to do. It just won't be the way I really wanted to do it. Now, I have been struggling for a year trying to figure out where my place is in the kingdom after everything that's going on, but I finally did what that lady said. Last night, I just laid out before God. I said, God, I surrender. I know what you've told me. I'm not going to ask you to explain it ever again. I'm not going to come before you and just say, are you finished with me? I know you're using me. I just finally just surrendered that. I don't care what people are saying. I never did, but they had me believing that I wasn't godly, that everything I was doing was of an occult nature. Even though I knew I was right, it's funny how your mind works, isn't it? All that chatter going on out there can get to you and you don't even realize it's getting to you. So, you know, one time, like I said, the church was always packed out. And there's a young man sitting right there where that black chair is at. And I walked by him, didn't touch him, didn't say a word to him. His mother had brought him. I didn't know it, but he was dying of cancer. The doctors gave him a couple of weeks to live. And, you know, the service was over with. I never prayed for the boy. I didn't know anything about him. And 6 years later, the mother came here again. And I said, how long did your son live? She said, he was healed that night. And she never called and told me, but he got healed. He said, she walked by me and something went through me and he was healed. So, you know, we just have to be. Just have to be. And Donna, all you have to do, honey, is just be. You could just walk by people and they're going to be healed. I mean, I really hardly couldn't even use my hand when I came in here. My dog tripped me up and I fell yesterday. But I think we need to understand that we don't understand. And we're always trying to figure things out. And we just need to be. You know, like, all right, one time I was in my house and I walked out of my bedroom. This was years ago when I had to church, I'd already started a church. But I walked out of my bedroom and walked past this girl. And God said, turn around and go back. She was in my hallway. She was there to see Jimmy. And God said, pray for her legs. Jesus said, don't touch them. And I told her she was in an accident. They told her she'd never walk again. You know, properly she walked. Her legs were really messed up. I put my hands, didn't touch her legs, just placed my hands where her legs, you know, around her legs. And God healed her. Just like that. And I got up, went on downstairs, did whatever I was going to do. I wasn't in my room being religious. I wasn't in there praying and fasting and crying out to God. I was just living a normal life, you know, as a pastor, but still and all. And I knew the young lady. She'd been around my house all her life. But God healed her right then and there. And she said, the doctor said she would never walk right. Eventually she would be crippled. All you have to do is just be. Just be who God made you to be. Now, the reason why I brought this up is because Matt Sorger, some of you might have already read it, he said miracles are coming from the glory realm. This is what he said now. I stepped to the platform and lifted my hands in worship. As I did, I reached right into a tangible cloud of his presence. Hear that? When we're in here praising and worshiping, guys, God is doing a work within you, and he's placing the glory in you, and then he increases it so that that's all you have to do is just be. He said, the moment I touched the glory, miracles broke out over 1,000 people. Tumors instantly dissolved, and all manner of sickness was healed, all in the glory. Here are five keys to walking miracles that flow from the glory of God, not just the anointing that comes and goes, but the abiding. See, it abides within you. When you do that total and complete surrender, it's always there. It's an abiding realm of his manifested presence. Number one, live from the secret place, not the public moment. The glory doesn't respond to performance, it responds to abiding. The problem with people, they want to perform, don't they? Performing never gets you anywhere, that's pride. And because I thank God that I was as ignorant as I was, because I didn't understand nothing, and I just started the church, and you know, and God just sent the people, and I would just go open up the doors like we do here, and God was already there, and he already was abiding, and I was abiding in him. And God just has always performed miracles. And how long have we been at this? 40 years? And this last year is the worst year I've ever spent with my walk with God, but it's over. So he says in Psalms 91, it says, he who dwells, not visits. See that? Miracles that flow from glory are not stirred up in a meeting. They are carried into the meeting. You should already come here with the glory active with inside of you. And when this past year, I would come in here and I said, I feel absolutely nothing. With all the prayers that were praying against me, I could not even feel that anointing. But then there'd be other services where God would just, I'd feel the anointing and God would just, he would just carry on. So don't go by what you feel. You just go. Maybe God was keeping me quiet. I don't know. Maybe he was trying to show people I can use her whenever I want to use her. And he could because I'm his vessel. It's not me. It's God. All right, so and it says, he who dwells not visits. Miracles that flow from glory are not stirred up in a meeting. They are carried into the meeting. I want you to always remember that statement. The difference. The anointing can come upon you. The glory rests on you because you've made God your dwelling. All right? The anointing can come upon you. The glory rests on you because you've made God your dwelling. Then he says, build a life where his presence is your default atmosphere, not your occasional encounter. Let's read that again. Build a life where his presence is your default atmosphere, not your occasional encounter. You know, a lot of things have been happening in the past year, but I can honestly say that I have, even though the things were going on, I had peace, you know, under an underlying peace that the enemy could not steal. All right, the second point, pursue union over function. Many ministers pursue power to do, but glory flows from being one with him. You have to be one with Christ, guys, if you expect him to use you. Get that in your spirit. In John 15, Jesus said, abide in me, and then fruit, including miracles, becomes inevitable. You know, a lot of people say they walk in the Spirit, but they really don't. I don't remember, I always taught, check the fruit. I still encourage you to check the fruit. A lot of people profess a lot of things, but there's no fruit there. If you want to know if somebody's of God or not, watch their fruit. You will soon find out whether or not they are of God. You know how Christians should be. I'm not even going to say a Christian because people throw that word around too freely. All right, don't just pray for miracles. Build the environment where miracles feel at home. And this is what God's been doing with us all, praise and worship. And you're the people that, I'm hearing God's here right now, the enemy is contending for your faith. And if he can keep you from hearing what he's saying today, then you won't have faith to move forth and trust God to just do. All right? All right, the fourth point, die to self-consciousness and move with boldness. In the glory, there is no room for hesitation rooted in self. In Acts 4, they prayed for boldness, and the place was shaken. Glory and boldness go together. Many miss miracles not because God isn't moving, but because they hesitate in the moment. And I'm going to explain this in a minute. All right, the key, he says, number one, obey quickly. Number two, speak what he says. Number three, move when he moves. The glory responds to faith and action, not internal negotiation. When I say to you, Alan, God has, he has a word you, he wants to, you to give to us. Or if I say to Donna, God wants you to go over there and lay hands on that person. You don't hesitate, because I wouldn't tell you to do that if I didn't hear God say it. So what you have to do is immediately not just say, well, I don't know if I got a word or not. If I said you have a word, then you have a word. And even if you hesitate, I think, why aren't you given that word instantly? I'm not here to encourage you to not have faith. I'm here to encourage you to use the faith that you have and to move when God tells you to move. I've sat back there and God's told me to do something. And I said, is this really you, God? And then he doesn't use me. Because I know it's God and I should have moved instantly. Remember the, I used to go around here and I would say, you have a word, you have a word, you have to do this. And everybody moved instantly in how it flowed, and God really did move. When you come in here, you're being taught how to be a leader. And so God can send you out there or even use you in here as a leader. There's no way in this world anybody can ever say that the Lighthouse Church held anybody back. That's not, we've never ever held anybody back. But a lot of people don't really want to be used by God. They want to be used by their own self and do it their way because they think their way is the better way. We've seen that happen. All right, the fifth point is, says, stay saturated. Don't step in and out. Moses didn't just visit the glory. His face radiated it. And you see that in Exodus 34. And, you know, God told me one time years ago, as I was with Moses, I am with you forever. And so, you know, I really studied Moses, and God was with Moses forever. And Moses didn't obey God and got himself in trouble. And believe me, if you don't obey God, you get yourself in trouble. I've done that. Always obey God. It's better to obey than have to spend some time being, you know, chastised. All right. This is where miracles shift from occasional, which is consistent, to external overflowing. If we can get all this into our spirit, if we can surrender this morning to God and not take it back, you know, don't take your stuff back. Just say, God, here I am, crown of my head, the soles of my feet, 100% empty. Now you fill me up with what you want me to do. All right? Don't worry about what people say. All right, saturation produces residue, and that residue carries power. How many of you can honestly say that you walked into a room and everybody stopped talking and turned around to see who entered the room? Now, this is not pride. I didn't know what was going on. But that's happened to me the more than once. And what it was, when I walked into the room, God walked into the room. And it got everybody's attention. And, you know, people didn't come to me once they found out, oh, that's just Barbara. That's just like Jesus in his own hometown. He couldn't do any good thing. And, you know, whenever I was, oh, that's just Barbara. And they going about their business. No, that was God entering the room. And he was trying to get your attention. And you didn't respond. All right, he said prophetic insight. Miracles that come from the glory are not something you try to produce. They are something you host. Let's read that again. Miracles that come from the glory are not something you try to produce. They are something you host. You carry that glory, then God can use you. I'm also hearing him say it can't be external. It has to be internal. You know, that has to be inside of you so he can use it when he wants, needs to. When you abide deeply, become one with him, guard his atmosphere, move boldly, stay saturated, you step into a realm where miracles are no longer events. They are a lifestyle. God said that's what's going to be happening here in the Lighthouse Church. Remember, and he said, you're going to be so busy, you won't know what to do with yourselves. You're going to have to quit your secular jobs, but you get paid in the church. Because God's going to use you in the church. Remember, he's told that a couple of times. There is no striving here. It's all about yielding and beholding him. Then a dimension of faith comes alive in you that moves mountains. Now, God told me that he was going to send leaders into me and I was going to train them. He was going to use me to train them so he could send them out. You'd be surprised in 30 years how many people actually could stay the course. They just couldn't stay surrendered. They said, this is too hard. The pastors in this area used to tell me, if you wouldn't preached so hard, you'd have the biggest church here because everybody loves you. But you preach too hard and people can't deal with that. Well, you have to be a warrior if you're going to be a chosen one. And check and see if that was posted yet. You're going to have a thick skin. And by that I mean be so yielded and surrendered to God that it doesn't matter what comes your way, it's not going to take you out. And I just heard God say about me, your skin is thick enough now I can use you the way I want to. Because remember I even said I was so sorry I gave in to some of that hurt and junk. Don't give in to nothing. You are a child of God. Stand tall and stand firm. You know, I was married to a man that said to me about every day of my life, well, you know, because I didn't do anything bad. I just didn't. And he was messed up. And he would say, well, what if one day whenever you die, you find out there isn't a heaven or a hell? I said, well, I'm happy. You're not happy. I'm happy. Well, that man died and he went to hell. And I sat and watched him do it. I never want to see that again. He found out there is a hell. And he found out I was right. But it was too late. So please, guys, there is a heaven, there is a hell. I've never been to heaven that I know of. But I've been to hell 3 times. And I don't want anybody to go there. And I wished I could reverse time and maybe be able to help that man, you know, not go there. But I can't do that. Are you ready to really, really, really carry the glory? Internally, not externally, not just by your mouth. As we go into praise and worship this morning, I just would love for you to just surrender yourself to God. And then don't pick yourself back up again. Let God be God in you. And let everybody that comes your way know that you serve a living God. And you know, I noticed one thing. The quiet people are the ones who are really surrendered to God. Those who always have to be talk, talk, talk. They're not really surrendered to God yet. There's still a piece of them that they need to hold on to for security. And, you know, like I say, we've been at this now. That's his 30th, 40 years. I've seen a lot in my days, a whole lot. And when I was evangelizing, I even saw more. Because you get to go different places, see different people. And I'm telling you, the best way to live is just totally surrender. And just let God move through you. All right. I don't care if you stand to your feet or sit down, lay down. But let's just worship God right now. Go ahead, Gabriel.
When your heart is overwhelmed and the weight is hard to hold, when the night feels never ending and your faith is growing cold, you don't have to have the answers, you don't have to understand. There is power in his presence, there is healing in his hands. In your weakness, he is strong. You don't have
when the road felt unfamiliar, and I lost what I had planned. Every moment that felt broken, every place I felt. Looking back, I see your mercy. You were there all along, even when I couldn't feel it. You were holding everything. Faithful always.
still the same. When I couldn't see the future, and I didn't understand, when the road felt unfamiliar, and I lost what I
through the highs, through the lows, you are all.
You have always been. right there in my deepest pain. You stay, you remain. In the silence of my questions, in the nights I couldn't sleep, when my heart was overwhelmed and the tears ran deep, when I felt like I was losing everything I knew, even in the broken pieces, I was held by you.
You are stronger than the pain. Jesus, come. Come and be the hero I can't be, the savior that I really need. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Jesus, come. Make my heart a cathedral. Make my soul your temple. Make my life an altar where your fire
my children, there is an abundance of rain coming. It is a former and a latter rain joined together. It is rain like you have never seen rain before. Your voices are now my voices, and they shall roll and reign all over this land. As you go forth and you spread peace, love and joy, and comfort to those who are lost and undone. Think it not a light thing what I have done here this day. I have transformed. I have renewed. And we are on a path that will never end. Some of you might say in the days ahead, I need a comfort zone. There is no comfort zones on this path that we are on. This is the end time dispensation. We must complete the works and complete it quickly. For my son Jesus needs to come back. You are the chosen ones that I have chosen in this end time hour to bring liberty to the bound. Please do not discard anything that you felt this day, for I have come and I have touched you in a special way. I have revived what was dead, and I have closed the doors on what shall never come through those doors ever again to destroy you or your calling. Lift your eyes unto me this day. You made a declaration to me this day, and you have surrendered. Keep your eyes upon the prize. Keep walking unhindered and go forth and complete the works. A new day has truly dawned upon my people. Walk in newness of life and resurrection power and set the captives free. Father, I truly do thank you for being here with us today, for inviting us into your service. I plead the blood of Jesus over each and every person in here, Father God. I wrap them in the blanket of the blood of Jesus, that the enemy cannot steal, kill, or destroy. And Father, as we go forth under your banner of peace and love and joy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed.